Reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 7, Text 123. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pratyuvacho Tava Nidva Prabho Vidya Pilajaya. Tato Brahmanya Devena Svayam Bhukta Praveshusha. Uddhava smiled and answered, because he is afraid and embarrassed, Uddhava smiled and answered, my Lord, because he's afraid and embarrassed. Then the Lord always favors the Brahmins. Himself with Narada inside and spoke to him. I can't put on the access code to mute the phone, so everyone, please take care to make sure your phone is muted. I think it's star 6. Uddhava could not help smiling when he thought about Narada's curious behavior. His enthusiastic arrival, his uncontrolled symptoms of ecstasy, and his hiding in the sky to watch Krishna visit Nava Vrindavan. Uddhava told Krishna that Narada was afraid because of the offense he has committed by disturbing Krishna's mind. When Krishna answered that Narada should never fear for any reason, Uddhava added that Narada was also embarrassed. True devotees are usually shy to reveal their private ecstasies when this might disturb others. To pacify Narada, Krishna himself therefore went to invite Narada in. Krishna approached the sage with due respect, bowed down to him, took him by the hand, and escorted him into the palace. Om Gyana Timurandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Yakshur Untamyena Smaisi Gurave Namaha. Well, greetings from New Jersey. I'm staying at the house of Lakshmi Nisringa and Patarajni. I've been here the last few weekends because on Saturday we had program. Yesterday we had our well, I think some of you know that about 10 years ago, I started a some camaraderie and to give camaraderie and vision to some young people that were going into the academy. We started a little kind of scholars association, and we have seminars once a year. We expanded that now to having some one-day seminars in New York. And I'd have to say it was very, very successful. Can someone just say hello to see that I'm still on?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Good to hear. So we had the Scholars Conference, and it was very, very enlivening. We had it at the Broome Street Temple, and we had three presentations, one by Mahamuni, one by Pradyumna, and one by Shamdas. It went from 10 to 5. I was very, very satisfied, very, very nice. I thought Mahamuni's presentation was extraordinary. It's an issue that is debated not only between Vaishnavas and Advaita Vedantas, but among Vaishnavas, is where does agency or volition, where is the seat of agency or volition? Anyway, I thought it was a very, very nice presentation. Mahamuni presented the form of Haksha, the view of what he wanted to promote. which is that agency, determination, will, they rest in the mind. And the soul just has consciousness or awareness. And it's very nice. It was a very nice presentation. I can't remember it all. And then Pradyumna discussed, what's that called? Is it Bhakti Ratna Premavali? I forgot that. But Baladev Vidyabhushan, he presented what is the Pramaya. Pramaya means the object to be known. So in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, what are the objects to be known? What knowledge do you have to have? It was nice. And then Shamdas, who's a good Sanskritist and scholar, he spoke on Vallabha's conceptions of Vaishnavism. And then we went to Amiya's house, where she set up her living room basically as a temple. And we had our second bhakti experience. And I felt it went really, really well. I mean, these are people who are generally not devotees, but interested in bhakti for the most part. And their absorption, it was really, really encouraging. And then I'm giving an advertisement to June 26th at Yoga Maya. We're going to do that drama. And I'm going to speak about aesthetic experience and spiritual life. Because in India, there's a shastra. And shastra, I think they were discussing in that conference, one of the points that there must be agency or will in the soul. And the point was quoted from Vedanta Sutra. Otherwise, the shastra has no meaning. Shastra means, the root word was to command, to direct, to guide, something like that. And one shastra is Matsya Shastra. So I'm going to explain the history of the relationship between aesthetic experience and self-realization. And then I'm going to do a drama with Alex. He's going to come down from Washington, D.C. And it's an interesting drama which includes Krishna Leela. And I'm also in the drama. I don't know if that's a draw or people will stay away. But if anybody's free at that time, please come. Now, and also be in Boston with Alex at the Boston Yoga and Chant Festival on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We're also going to do the drama there. And I'll speak a little bit. Now, I think we had two classes that were kind of a little bit disturbed. So let's get back to the crux of this. And let me not go too far back, because we have a regular audience. Narada is searching for the topmost devotee, that we know. It's a beautiful story. And you really get to see bhakti from different angles. And if you really want to understand something deeply, you have to look at it from different angles. That's why Prabhupada said that we should study his books and discuss it from different angles. And this different angle concept has an analogy with sharpening the intelligence. The 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That when you, the weapon of detachment is sharpened by knowledge. You understand things. Your mind becomes sharper. I'm losing my place. It's not good. Anyway, let's get back to here. So Narada is, and we see the varieties of ways in which bhakti can be expressed and appreciated. But this theme is comparative study. What is the topmost bhakti? And then you get reasonably into the conception of perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. And a way to understand that is compare a romantic love to the mother. And let's say again, please, because I don't have the access to control it on this particular phone. Everyone, please mute your phone. We can hear some of the people. Okay. So, where was I with Narada and the... Okay, so it's a comparative study. I'd say a mother's love, simple analogy. It can be perfect, but another relationship, a romantic relationship, can technically be more intimate. But you can't say a mother's love is not perfect. It's love, it's perfect. It's just maybe, so in the same way, there are relationships with Krishna, and they're all perfect. Any pure devotee, his feet is on my head, no matter what relationship he has with Krishna. And I aspire also for anya vilashita shunyam, jnana karma jnanavritam, anukulyena Krishna anu. I aspire also for pure devotion, where my only intention in whatever I do is to please Krishna, even in my service for Krishna. Because you can have service for Krishna and do it for yourself, and that's not pure devotional service. So ultimately, pure devotional service does not just mean the activity, but the intention in which that activity is done. So I put, I know I probably said it wrong last time, but put the feet of any pure devotee on my head, who has no other intention to please Krishna. But in this comparative study, in Narada's search, he's now making this observation of Krishna explaining to Satyabhama why this love, that is ontologically expressed in Vrindavan, is the highest. When there is the full expression of love. And the full expression of love doesn't mean that that should be the only expression of love. Because there's varieties of flavor that enhance devotion. And even enhance the topmost devotion. Gopi's love for Krishna, it's also the love of his parents and the friends. They're also all involved in the lila of Krishna. So, Narada is observing now how Krishna is explaining to Satyabhama that this love, when it is expressed in Vrindavan, when it is supported in Vrindavan, when it is uninhibited in Vrindavan, it's more forceful and pure. And in response to that love, Krishna opens his heart to the maximum degree. In fact, what Krishna is when God has opened his heart to the maximum degree. And that's the full beauty of the Supreme. Because the beauty of a person is his heart. You can't experience the beauty of a person until the person gives their heart to you. And that's Krishna. And when God is completely uninhibited, what a beauty he has. What relationships he has. What pastimes he has. And what music he has. The flute, is the heart of God expressed at the pinnacle of his joy. And to hear that flute is to experience the pinnacle of God's joy. And to see that manifestation of the Supreme, it attracts and draws out love to the maximum degree. How does bhakti come into the heart? Or how is bhakti drawn out of the heart? Bhakti is drawn out of the heart when it comes in contact with acts of devotion and objects of devotion. And you can't experience the object of devotion unless you do acts of devotion. Unless you have the consciousness that turns towards Krishna, that is free from envy, that wants to be the servant of Krishna, and wants to love Krishna, you cannot see Krishna. Because Krishna is a person. And a person does not let him or herself be seen unless they're in the presence of someone who loves them. Think of yourself. How much are you seen in a formal atmosphere where people have expectations of either authority or servitude in relationship to you? How much are you seen? So this concept is so beautiful that God is only fully seen in Vrindavan. And that's what Krishna is explaining to Satyabhama. As beautiful and as spontaneous as Krishna's relationship is with the queens of Dwarka, it cannot compare, and Krishna's, it cannot compare to that beauty of God in Vrindavan, where he feels himself, opens his heart fully to those fortunate beings who have the deepest and most intimate love for him. And that is so powerful, that love. It, again, what is it? The objects of devotion that manifest in relationship to acts of devotion, it draws out, and it's like a magnet, the attraction for the object of devotion, the attraction for Krishna. And that is bhakti. Bhakti is the eternal nature of the soul. And that eternal nature of the soul becomes attracted when it's not covered by aversion, like a rag. When it's not drenched, it will react to fire. So when our consciousness is not drenched with egotism, a lack of surrender, an aversion to the divine, something will react. What reacts is the eternal nature of the soul. That's what bhakti is. When our acts of devotion reveal the objects of devotion, then the shakti or potency of those objects draw a love or attraction from our soul to God. And when the object of devotion is fully manifest or fully seen by its will to reveal himself to those devotees with the most love in the environment that facilitates that relationship, Sri Vrindavan Dham, such devotion is drawn out of the soul that it overwhelms the receptacle of that devotion. And the waters may freeze, trees may melt, the stones may melt, he's describing this to Satyabhama. How much the Lord's glories are manifest varies according to the environment he's in. And that environment is Vrindavan. And he explains that Sukadeva Goswami his own devotional realization allows him to understand this. Your devotional realization, which is an experience of the Absolute, allows you to understand the Absolute Truth beyond the filter of the intelligence. The filter of the intelligence may tell you that the Absolute Truth is something mundane. The filter of the intelligence may tell you that the Absolute Truth is something mythological. And even though theoretically we may have accepted that Krishna and Radha and Krishna is real, without realization of the reality and the sweetness and the beauty of that divine Absolute Truth, then somehow or other, our experience of that Absolute Truth will be distorted, and we won't see it in the proper way. For someone like Sukadeva Goswami, he has the devotional realization, and that realization allows him a depth of understanding into these pastimes, where they can be presented in a way that people can relish them. Vipita Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. And therefore the Bhagavatam says, Vipita Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam, that you should drink this. It's so sweet because it's explaining what? It is explaining devotion and selflessness manifest to the highest degree. That's why these books are so powerful. They are called Rasa Shastra. And what is Rasa Shastra? Rasa Shastra is describing the aesthetic experience of rasa, of bhakti rasa. The aesthetic experience. It's like you watch a drama. You have an aesthetic experience of tragedy. You may be crying. You may watch a romance. You'll have an ecstatic experience of a romance. You may feel those feelings. It may be a horror film. You may have an ecstatic experience of fear. These books are about a existential aesthetic experience called rasa. And the one of the Upanishads is rasa vaisaha. But that ultimate reality is this aesthetic experience. It's a taste of love and devotion to the highest degree. And these books perfectly express that. And if you have the emotional and spiritual maturity to appreciate it, then by hearing it, you will also have that aesthetic experience. And this is what Rupa Goswami contributed to drama. That the aesthetic experience is not just experienced by the actor or what the actor is parodying, what he's imitating, but it's experienced by the audience. It's rasa. So Sukadeva Goswami, he has that experience. Therefore, he can understand that experience. Therefore, he can explain that experience. That's why it's so significant to hear from someone who has personal realization. The whole Bhagavatam is based on the enthusiasm of being in the presence of someone who has that realization, and that's Guru Parampara. Starts with Vyas, and then Sukadev. And then there's Sutta Goswami. He says, I'll explain this to you, to the sages. I have heard it. I have realized it. So Sukadev has that realization. And when all this very wonderful static discussion is going on, where the Supreme Lord is praising the splendor of the Vrijarasis and therefore meditating on their aesthetic experience of Rasa, which is Rati or Bhava, or a sense of love for God, heightened to the highest possible degree, which is the pleasure of God. God is the drinker, Rasika Shekhar. He's the chief drinker of that experience. And this is the Gaudiya Vaishnav theology, that absolute reality is just drinking the essence of his bliss potency, which is bhakti or devotion. It's expressed and put in the hearts of the devotees. And it's very, very wonderful. If you're reading about people who have this experience of rasa, which is the pleasure of God, and then you feel it yourself, you're giving pleasure to God. And that's ultimately what devotional service is. That's what real bhakti or real devotion is. When the love of Godhead attains a purity and an intensity that it can be drunk by the absolute reality. It's just like your hand. Hand is part of the body. When it feeds the body, then the hand, as the body becomes satisfied, the hand becomes satisfied. It's a concept. You serve universal interest, which is the divine. And you actually serve the divine, which means you actually do what the divine means, and not just use his teachings to serve your own ego or objectives. When you actually have the subtlety and the guidance and the insight to actually understand what God wants and then serve that. And again, it doesn't mean to neglect your ordinary duties, because that may also be what God wants for you. But when you actually do that and you actually experience that, then, because it's the universal interest, then everyone. The hand is meant to serve the body. We're meant to serve God. But how are we meant to serve God? Satisfy his desire. What's God's desire? God's desire is to exchange with his own energies, which means to drink rasa. Drink rasa. So Krishna is now speaking about the Brajvasis, and Uddhava becomes anxious because they're afraid he'll go into that. And then Uddhava sees Narada at the door, and Narada, and we're kind of getting up, is kind of embarrassed because this whole commotion where Krishna goes into this catatonic state, this whole commotion where God is feeling so much separation from the residents of Vrindavan, and he becomes overwhelmed and out of consciousness. That whole thing was Narada's enthusiastic arrival in Dwarka, his uncontrolled symptoms of ecstasy. And now what's going to happen Krishna tells him, no, don't think that this separation that you put me in, that's an offense. With the medicine of the red lac of your lotus feet, please cure this servant of yours who has been bitten. So now the next explanation that's coming up, and I think I'm going to read the verses and purports because they're so deep and we'll share them, is now Krishna is going to explain the mysterious nature of Rahabhav and how this separation from Krishna is the absolute greatest ecstasy. And if you cause that separation in someone, you're the greatest friend. It's like it was Prabhupada's disappearance day. And someone spoke something that reminded you of Prabhupada and you began to cry in separation. Is that for a person your friend or your enemy? It's your friend, because somehow or other, if you have that deep separation, it's also a reflection and a nourishment of the deep sentiments of attachment. An attachment in the form of love for the divine is the greatest thing. Even if that attachment is in the guise of the painful snake bite of separation from one. And now this is Krishna's explanation. And it's also the culmination of the book, because as we've seen, as Krishna's been explaining, he's been explaining this for Ahabhav that the residents of Vrindavan are in. And in the purport, it's clearly explained that this is something unique to the level of attachment of the residents of Vrindavan. And therefore, this viraha bhav, this mood of separation, is the greatest mercy. We should pray for this. We should pray that our level of attachment for Krishna creates a painful sense of separation. That somehow or other, that this is the greatest gift. Because it's the greatest level of love. And that somehow or other. And I remember one senior Vaishnava told me at Prabhupada's disappearance day, he said the goal of Prabhupada's disappearance day is that a drop of separation can awaken in your heart. Krishna says it is true that when one is parted from those one loves, pure love makes us suffer within, as if from a blazing forest fire. The burning pain creates a remorse that further deepens into irrepressible sorrow. Thus at first one seems wretched. Commentary. Narada may agree that he need not be embarrassed for unfavorably losing control amidst the ecstasies of Bhagavad Bhakti. Yet he has caused Krishna great distress by sending the Lord into a bewildered trance of remembering his devotees in Vrindavan. In this verse and the next, Krishna therefore tries to convince Narada that he need not blame himself. The misery of transcendental separation is only apparent, even while outwardly showing many symptoms of is absorbed in incomparable bliss. Thus the Lord, thus the apparently wretched devotee is actually most fortunate. Whatever momentary distress he may feel will soon give away to complete happiness. Srila Gaura-Govinda Maharaj, I mentioned this many times, he wrote a wonderful book, The Embankment of Separation, to clearly show that what bhakti is like a river flowing. And we can understand that practically, if we have devotional feelings, the more intense they are, the more they are flowing. You can almost feel them coming from the heart. One meditation that I do in japa is I meditate on the holy name is Shakti. Namnamakari Bahuda and Nija Sarva Shaktis. It has all Shaktis. It has all potency. The holy name is also potency. And potency serves the potent. Energy serves the source. Shakti serves Shaktiman. So the purpose of energy is to please, and therefore the essence of all energy, the chiefmost Shakti, is the Ladini Shakti. It's the pleasure potency. And what's the essence of the Ladini Shakti? It's Krishna Prema. The sense that I want you to be happy, Krishna. When you offer your food, you really have to pray, Krishna, eat the food, leave me nothing. You have to pray like that. Krishna, this is not for me. Please give me a sense that this food that's prepared, that you become happy, that it's your pleasure. Don't have to leave me anything. And if you leave me anything, it's just your mercy. And I will accept it as your prasad, as your remnant. So when we chant the holy name of Krishna, one way in which we can chant the holy name of Krishna is a Shakti. I bring my consciousness to the heart chakra, and I hear the name as coming from the heart, and I as Shakti, and therefore I try to please. And the conscious way to please is I try, let me chant this sweetly. If this holy name is for the pleasure of God, and in fact the divine is listening to my heart through my chanting, let me listen to the sincerity of my chanting. And let me chant it very sweetly and chant every syllable for God's pleasure. So that's pleasure. And if that sense, that desire, anukuyena krishna anu shilana bhaktavit, anukuyena krishna anu, that I want Krishna to be pleased. I have no other desire. That is a great devotee. And those are the people that we can really appreciate. And have pure love. And everything else comes from that love. That person is very, very humble. So, if somehow or other this mood of separation we can understand, it's a type of love. It has to be a type of pleasure. But this anguish of separation is praised as greater than the happiness of enjoying with those one loves. separation is so pleasing to the mind that it cannot be described. It always transforms at last into an abundance of pleasure. Only experts in tasting these moods can understand how it happens. You have to have some experience of that. You have to have experience of feeling such deep separation that a love and an attachment wakens in your heart. And simultaneously a feeling of pleasure. The so-called bliss of merging into the impersonal aspect of the absolute truth is often said to be indescribable, but the bliss of pure prema is even harder to describe, and most hard to describe is the inconceivable ecstasy of transcendental love and separation, which is born in pain, but grows into the greatest possible pleasure. The ecstasy of separation is not the miserable experience it seems to outsiders. It is manodama, cause of full satisfaction for the heart. If someone asks how one could feel happy with misery, one should know that only the rasikas, those who have spontaneous eagerness to taste this prem, can understand it. Anybody like to ask any questions? Anybody please like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was just waiting my 5 seconds.
Nice to see you today. And we got to glorify Jayati Radhika, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was so sweet to see her. She's so sweet.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah, I had a question, another long-standing question. Whenever you talk about the essence of Krishna's pleasure potency, and you seem to be making a distinction Krishna's pleasure potency.
Yes.
Yes, you say that Hladini Shakti, and then the essence of that is, I think, Krishna Prema.
Yeah.
And so, by making that statement, it seems to imply that there's something else within Hladini Shakti. I mean, normally I would just say that the two are synonymous, but by saying that the essence of Hladini Shakti is prema seems to imply that there is something, some distinction, you know, between the two.
Well, as you said, the essence of water is liquidity, right? Then what does that mean?
Oh, without liquidity, then there can't be water. So, without Krishna,
right?
Prema,
so there is. Yeah, that's what it is. That's the essence. It's just like the cream, right? The cream is the essence of the milk, but cream is nothing but milk. So it's that pleasure potency, you know, heightened. You know, because that pleasure potency also is reflected in this world to give us pleasure, too. Even material pleasure is a reflection of that potency. So it does have different ways to act, but its real essence is Krishna Prema. And when it's heightened to the highest degree, it's called Mahabhav. And Radharani is Mahabhav Surupini. She is the form, the essence of, she is the essence of the form, you know, of let Krishna be pleased, and therefore her jewels, I explained this many times, are none different than her, because her jewels are put on for Krishna's pleasure. They're composed of that essence or sense of giving Krishna pleasure. Okay.
Okay.
Is that your phone, Gail?
No, it's not.
Someone else. Anybody else like to say hello? Who's that? Any of my friends out there like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Kumar.
Kumar, always loud and clear there from Texas. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hello, Shastra.
Hey, Shastra, see you this evening.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Nandadula, can you send me your phone number, please?
Okay. I'll do it, you know. Sure.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Chris. I'm always meditating on Giranagari, but my meditation hasn't brought me there yet. But I'm still thinking when to coordinate that for sure. Anybody else like to say hello? Yeah, it would be.
Hi, Krishna.
Like this is Janava. Where are you now, Janava?
I'm in Alaska.
You still in Alaska?
Pardon me?
Did you call me again?
No.
Did you want to speak to me again? Okay.
No, I think we're good right now, but I will email you.
Determine a little bit my schedule, you know.
Okay.
So I need to know.
Okay.